Welcome to our Sunday school. We'll get started. We're opening up to Isaiah chapter 61 this morning for just a brief moment. And I'm going to ask Brother Johnson, would you open us in prayer, please? Amen. Well, if you made it to the revival services this week, you were truly blessed. Amen. Brother Randy did a great job, and if you missed it, you missed some good sermons, some good challenges throughout this week. However, if you go to our website at lonemountainbaptistchurch.com, you can download those, every message off of the sermon audio link there. Or you can see Tim, and he may be able to do something on disc for you. However, Brother Randy, during the week, God has been laying a lot of things this whole week on my heart. And the one dealt with salvation. Salvation. Before we can have true revival, we need to be saved. Amen? Because then we become children of God. Our spirit becomes alive at the time that we accept Jesus as our personal Savior. So, we're going to look at one verse here in Isaiah chapter 61. But understand, if you want to understand salvation as God meant it, this is the chapter to go through. Because this is all about salvation. It's the first three verses are about the office of Christ. 4 and 5 talks about restoration. And then 6 to the end of the chapter talks about the blessedness of being of the church, of being part of the church. But we're going to verse number 10. Verse number 10, and it says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. We have a lot of things going on in just this one verse. Isaiah here is talking about what happens when we accept Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. We become a new creation. Think of it this way. The big thing a number of years ago were the shows about makeovers. Makeovers. They'd take someone who was kind of homely and not real good. They didn't look like they had much. And then by the end of the show, half hour, hour later, a miraculous change took place. They were all cleaned up. They all had sparkling new duds on. They all were clean shaven. If they were men with women, they had this real nice hairdo. They had all kinds of jewels about them and all kinds of jewelry. It was a miraculous thing. Well, this is what I picture when I see Isaiah here. Now understand, God doesn't work this way, just like these shows, these makeover shows. It's not going to be wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, done. All right? But there's going to be a change. When I accepted Jesus Christ, I was the worst person that you can meet. You ask Holly, I was mean, I was nasty, I treated her like she was my doormat. I treated women as objects. They were conquests up to this point. But thank God, He spared me from all of these problems. Like Brother Randy said this week, fornication and pornography will mess your life up. It will take you down a path that will destroy your life. if not medically, spiritually, and inside your soul. Because I'm going to tell you, as one that speaks from experience, there's not a day go by that I wish I could go back and change how I treated my wife. But that's not God's plan. God's plan was for me to accept Him that day at Liberty Baptist Church and realize that I've been running around with Satan running after me, trying to devour my soul. And the reality is, had it not been for Jesus Christ being there and me running to that cross, I wouldn't be where I am today. So praise God, He tarried long enough so that I could find true, what the meaning of true love is. You see, women are not conquests. Women are not doormats. And I see men out here all the time treating them as such. We are equal in God's eyes. We are sinners saved by grace. Isaiah is trying to tell us here, look, when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we take off that old flesh. Yeah, we still got that flesh with us. But our spirit has come alive. We can strip away all those bonds, all those chains that bind us to that, to whatever it is God saved you out of. And He cleans us up real nice. He gives us, he tells us, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. We need to be joyful. Every day we need to wake up and we need to realize God loves us. His Son died on that cross for us, and that's our joy. It never says that we're going to be happy every day, but our joy is important to us. Remember, David himself asked to be reminded of the joy of his salvation. For He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. You see, when Jesus went to that cross, His blood covered us. His blood, we ask Him into our heart and it comes into our soul, and that blood cleans us. I mean, you put blood on anything nowadays, you see people just throw it away and go buy something else. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't do this? His blood cleanses us and makes us white as snow. That's the difference. Take a little cup of bleach, a little bit of bleach. Put your blue jeans in the washing machine and throw that bleach in there. See what happens. Those blue jeans will no longer be blue. They will become white. That's what the cleansing power of Jesus Christ does for us. You see, so that day, Jesus allowed me to put on His garment of salvation. He covered us with the robe of righteousness. You see, what Isaiah is reminding us here is the new covenant in Jesus Christ. Ourselves, we can never be good enough to approach God. We could never be good enough to even come into His courts and ask for anything. I hear it all the time from people that they don't live a godly life. I don't know whether they're saved. That's not for me to judge. But I will offer them what God offered me. And that's that relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. You see, this new covenant is, you hear these guys all the time with, I don't know whether they're saved or not. Some I don't believe are, but hey, that's between them and God. But I'm going to tell them about it. It's not for me to judge. They ask all the time, pray for me. Pray for me. Or if you've got a problem, I'm going to pray for you. And it's funny because your mind goes, those who know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior go, Well, wait a second. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I've shared them with you, and you've flat out refused them, and now you want to pray for me. It's become a term of, well, it's comfort. They're there. You're having a problem. They're there. I'll pray for you. The ones who really are genuine about praying for someone, I found, are those who genuinely have that relationship with Jesus Christ. I've never seen more prayer warriors in my life than here at Lone Mountain Missionary Baptist Church. I know when someone is having a problem, or even myself, if I'm going through something and someone comes up and says, "Brother Bill, I'm going to pray for you in this church," I know I'm being prayed for. And I know it's prayer that's being heard by God, because you got to understand, if you're not saved, if you're not a child of God, a blood-bought, born-again child of God, God's not hearing your prayer. You're an enemy with God. You are Satan's child, as we were reminded this week. Brother Randy shared this passage during one of his messages, and it caught hold, and it's been on my heart all week, because the next part says, "He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments." I've heard people say that this is talking about Israel as the bridegroom. Wrong. This decoration, with ornaments is talking about crowns. There's only one person I know that's a true king, and that's Jesus Christ. The bridegroom is Jesus Christ himself, and he deserves to be decked out with those ornaments, with that crown on his head, because every knee is going to bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And finally, "And as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels," that's the jewels of our salvation. That's the jewels and the rewards that God is giving us for what we do. We're going to be judged on our works. Are we out there telling people about Christ? Are we out there running around with our hands on our chest going, "Yeah, look at me. I'm something special. I'm saved." You know what? There's a lot of people out there that are like that. I believe we need to be humble. I believe we need to show humility. If you turn over real quick to Philippians chapter 3, let's remember what Paul said about all of this. Let's remember what Paul said about everything that he had done in his life, about all of his accolades. Paul was a great man. Before his conversion, he was a Pharisee. He was very knowledgeable on all the laws of the Torah and in Israel. But look at his attitude after he accepted Jesus Christ. In Romans 3, verses 8 and 9, says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Folks, we are saved by grace through faith. Y'all know the what they mean. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Faith, forsaking all, I trust him. That's faith. So what I took away this week, and what God laid on my heart this week through these passages was, and through what Brother Randy showed or preached about, God used him. God used him in a mighty way. And what stuck with me was faith. Faith. Our garment of salvation, our robe of righteousness, comes by faith in God. Not faith in faith. Not faith in this person or that person. Faith in God. Faith in Jesus Christ. Because remember, Jesus promised us some things in this word. The first one is the faith of our salvation. God promised us, Jesus promised us, if we would only come to the cross and accept His gift, we'll have ever eternal life. Couldn't get that out. But there's other things that God promises us that all we need to do is we need to trust. That word faith can also be said trust. We have to trust in God. That's our encouragement. That's our power. He gave us powers to become the sons of God. So if He gave us that power, then we need to trust Him in everything. Not just pick and choose, but in life, in everything. Because that's our garments, is that faith. And that faith grows day by day through our trials and tribulations. Let's stand. Heavenly Father.